Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tesvav. We begin at the very top of Tesvav Omer Aleph with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Tikra, a ceiling, a roof, She'ein olea maziva, a roof that just has the boards on it without having the maziva. Rashi explains that the maziva is the ritzbas tit. It is like a floor of tit, of plaster, that we put on top of the boards. One wants to see this in a picture. One can look in the Pirush Chai on page 42, diagram 208, where they basically show you that there are boards, and then there's a layer of this maziva, of this tit, of this tar, that is to make sure that the water doesn't normally go through, the elements don't normally go through, just the boards of the ceiling. So in a house, of course, it has a maziva, but in a sukkah, it's not allowed to have a maziva. So the Mishnah is telling us, if you have a roof, she'ein olea maziva, you just have boards. Now this is related to the machlokas that we had yesterday between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that in his understanding of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in the following situation, if you want to go and make this sukkah into a kosher sukkah, l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav and according to Shmuel that we had yesterday, he does allow, under some circumstances, board. According to Rav, he allows boards of any type. He doesn't have the Gzeiras Tikra. According to Shmuel, he only allows boards that are less than a certain width, if they're less than 4 tvachim. In any event, that's a quick reminder of yesterday. Here, Rabbi Yehuda tells us that there's a machlokis in regards to Maziva between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, we always see Beis Shammai first. That's one of the reasons why we passing like Beis Hillel, because they always gave cover to Beis Shammai and let Beis Shammai go first. So Beis Shammai omrim, mefak fake, benotel achas bein tayim. Mefak fake, Rashi tells us, means so ser you undo, umenaneya, and move eskulad. In other words, you have to adjust every one of the boards. We'll see why in the Gemara. This is a concept of tasev alomino osui. You can't have a sukkah that's put up. This original sukkah was not put up l'shem tzel. And therefore, you have to go and demonstrate that you're making it l'shem tzel, l'shem sukkah. And therefore, you have to undo and move each of the boards. V'achakach notel achas meintayim. And then, afterwards, Beis Shammai says, you have to be mefakfek, the notel achas meintayim. You have to, in fact, remove every other board. So this way, you put up kosher schachin between them, and this way it will be a kosher sukkah. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says you don't have to do both of those things. Beis Hillel omrim, either you mefakfek, or notel achas meintayim, and that will accomplish what you need to accomplish, according to Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara will explain what exactly is the machlokis over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir disagrees. As we'll see, Rabbi Meir will say that there is no machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But for now, we'll just read Rabbi Meir and say, Rabbi Meir omer, no tel achas mi bein tayim ve eino mefakvek. He says, ultimately we'll understand this as mefakvek doesn't do anything for you in this situation, but you just must remove one of the boards in between the other two boards. And you can again see diagrams of this, if you wish, in the Illustrated Gemara on page 27, diagram number 80. So right now the Mishnah is still a little bit enigmatic. We'll go through the Gemara and better understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off and says, Bishlama Beis Hillel. Everything can be easily understood according to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel says you do one of the two. Either you're mefakfek, or you know tel achas mi bein tayim. Either lift up the boards, or you remove a board in between the other boards, which you don't have to lift up all of the boards. So the reasoning is because their understanding of why you have to do something to this maziva is because of the concept of tasev alomen osri, that you have to make this chachin. It can't just already be there, and then you decide that you want to use it as a sukkah. So therefore, either way, one of the two will accomplish that. You're now showing, you're demonstrating that this is being made the same sukkah. And therefore, it's not min ha'osui. Therefore, either by lifting up every board, mefakvek, or either removing every other board, that demonstrates that you're making this l'shem tzel, l'shem sukkah. So Beis Hillel, no problem understanding it. Ella, Beis Shammai, my timayo. According to Beis Shammai, why do you need to do both? If the reasoning is because of imishum tasev lomin osui b'chodosoki, then one of the two, like Beis Hillel, should have been enough. If you're going to tell me imishum gzeres tikra, this is related to the machlokas we had yesterday, that we don't allow you to use boards because If you use boards, then you can say, why should I make a sukkah? I have boards in my house. Let me just stay in my house. So if it's because of Gzeiras Tikra, so then, b'no talachas mi bintayim sagi. So then, if you were to go and remove every other one, so then you definitely don't have a Gzeiras Tikra over here. You're demonstrating clearly that you're not willing to stay in your house and use such boards because you're lifting the boards up. So you're saying, I know I can't stay in my house, and therefore it should be adequate, according to Beis Shammai, to just remove every other board. Why do you also have to be mefakvek? So therefore, it's a kasha on Beis Shammai. So the Gemara answers, La'olam mishum gzeres tikra. No, the real reasoning is because of this gzeres tikra. So what is Beis Shammai saying that you need to do both? It would have seemed that just removing every other board would demonstrate that you're not using your house as a dwelling place, but you're using it now as a sukkah, and therefore there is no gzeres tikra involved. This is what the Mishnah is actually saying. Afal pi shumafakvek. The Mishnah is telling us, as I had indicated, that Beis Shammai shita is that mafakvek does nothing. E no tel achas mi bintayim in e lo lo. That mafakvek accomplishes nothing in regards to gzeres tikra because it's still there. And the person could say, listen, why do I have to go make a sukkah? I could stay in my house. But if you remove every other board, you are actively demonstrating that the house is not an adequate kosher sukkah. So therefore, there is no gzeres tikra. As Rashi says in Diramasu v'hochi kamrei, klomar, loma hani pikbuk. Pikbuk, just undoing, loosening up these boards does nothing. Only elementila achas mi bintayim. The ika maisa ma'alya, that physically does something. That's a real maisa. Ugzeres tikra nami botla, that demonstrates that you don't want these boards as they were to be your house, to be a roof. You wanted to make it into a sukkah. Why the army mefakvek? Why does it say mefakvek? This is what it means. Ha mefakvek. If you do mefakvek, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Lo howel. You must do v'notel achas mi bein time. You must do it this way. So that's how Beis Shammai has to be understood. It's not that you can do both. It's the saying that mefakvek does nothing, and you must be notel achas mi bein time, even if you were mefakvek. As opposed to Beis Hillel says mefakvek alone is enough. Where it says, okay, if that's your teretz, ihochi, eim sefer, then keep on reading. What does the Mishnah say next? Mishnah said, Rabbi Meir Shita, Rabbi Omer, nochel achas mi bentayim, avolo yufakvek. Rabbi Meir says that you can't do mefakvek, that's not good. You must be notel every other board. And therefore, Rabbi Meir had a Beis Shammai. The way we just understood Beis Shammai, it's exactly the same as Rabbi Meir. Now, why would Rabbi Meir go according to the opinion of Beis Shammai? Rabbi Meir would want to go according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. So that's problematic if you understand the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, in this way. So then it's problematic. How do we understand Rabbi Meir? He says again, no, Hochi Kamrei, we're misunderstanding Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is saying that there is no machlokis. Lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'dover zeh. Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai that mefakvek, according to Rabbi Meir, that mefakvek is no good. You can't just loosen the boards because of the gzeres tikra. And therefore, even Beis Hillel, and certainly Beis Shammai, say that the only way that you can turn this into a kosher sukkah is by being notel achas mi bintayim. But mefakvek alone will do nothing. As Rashi points out, Rabbi Meir tells Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel kavosi sviru lehu de'ein mesachachim b'nisarim. Like the shita that we had yesterday, Rabbi Meir holds that there is a gzeres tikra, the lo mahani pikbuk, and therefore pikbuk doesn't do you any good. And that's why Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Meir, are not arguing over here. Now, according to what we just said, this is an exact repetition of yesterday's shir. It's a machlokas Rav Meir and Yehuda in yesterday's shir, and we seem to be reiterating that same machlokas in today's shir. That's what the Gemara asks. Michael Mashulan, what is the chiddush? The Rav Meir isla gzeres tikra. So the outcome of our Mishnah, the way we just explained it, is the Rav Meir holds there is a gzeres tikra, Rav Yehuda less like gzeres tikra, and Rav Yehuda holds that there is no gzeres tikra. Again, as to be understood the way Rav and Shmuel understood it yesterday, but it's the same exact din that we're learning in today's Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. V'ayifligu b'achal the zimna, but we had the same achlokas in yesterday's Mishnah. Ditnan, nesachim b'nesarim de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda allows you to use boards, either like Rav, that you can use them regardless, no matter what the size, because he doesn't have gzeres tikra, or Shmuel says that the boards that are 4.0 and up you can't use, but less than 4.0, Rav Yehuda says yes, and here we have the Rabbi Meir Oser, and both according to Rav, and according to Shmuel, Rabbi Meir doesn't allow boards. Certainly, Rabbi Meir doesn't allow boards of 4.0. According to Rav, he does allow boards that are less than 4.0. According to Shmuel, he doesn't even allow boards that are less than 4.0. Tochen. So therefore, this is the exact same machlokis as in yesterday's Mishnah, and the Gemara normally doesn't tell us the same machlokis in two Mishnahs. It doesn't make sense. Therefore, there must be some different understanding. So where it says, Amar Rabbi Chia Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chia Baraba says, Rabbi Yochanan. No, there is a difference. Reisha b'nisorim mishupin askinan. The Reisha, yesterday's Mishnah, is dealing with mishupin, smoothed out boards. See a nice diagram of what this means in the Illustrated Gemara on page 27, diagram number 81. Or you can likewise see this in the Pirush Chai on page 42 in diagram number 209. Basically, these smoothed-out boards are like a kli. They're not rough wood, but they're smoothed out. And therefore, mishum gezeras kelim nogubah. The first teretz that we want to suggest over here, which we are going to reject, is Rabbi Chiya bar Ava. Amar Yochanan says that yesterday's Mishnah was not gezeras tikra. Yesterday's Mishnah was gezeras kelim. If we allow you to use these boards that are very mishupin, that are very smoothed out, they've been sandpapered, and they're very, very smooth, so then we may come to use other kelim. Now, these very smoothed out boards technically are still a shtick wood. They're technically still pshute kli eitz and are technically not kelim. But if we allow you to use them, so there is a concern that maybe you'll use other kelim. Rabbi Yehuda's not concerned about that, and Rabbi Meir is. And therefore, that's the chiddush from yesterday's Mishnah. Umishum gzeres kelim nogubah. The Rabbi Meir holds we are concerned about gzeres kelim, and Rabbi Yehuda holds we're not concerned about gzeres kelim. And that's why in yesterday's Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mesachakim in Asarim Mishupin, and Rabbi Meir says, Oser to be mesachim b'nisari meshupin. And today's Mishnah is the Gzeres Tikra. Where says that can't be? Well, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, wait a second. We had learned yesterday as well that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav had taught us, the Omar, that if you're sichicha b'chitzin zicharim kishera, b'chitzin b'nikevos b'sula, but if you have the male types of arrows where you have a shaft that goes into a arrow part, the arrow part has a receptacle in it, and the shaft goes into that. That's called a male arrow. So he said there, it's definitely a shtick wood, it's definitely a pshute kliyet, and it would be good for using such an arrow as schach. However, binikevos, with the arrows where the shaft is the one that has a receptacle, and the arrow head has something that goes into the shaft, that is no good because it's a base kibble, and therefore it is unacceptable to be used as schach because it's a kli and it's a makabel tuma. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says that there's a difference between the two different types of arrows, and the lo gozar zecharim atu nekevos. We don't seem to have a gzeras kelim, that if we allow you to use the male arrows, you may come to use the female arrows. We don't make such a gzera. So to Ovia Hochanami, we shouldn't be making gzera. Lo nigzar nesorim meshupim, which are technically acceptable, atu kelim, because of a gzeras kelim. We see that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav doesn't hold from a gzeras kelim, so therefore, you can't really explain our Mishnah yesterday as being a machlokus of Gzeres Kalim, when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says there is no such Gzeres Kalim. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're not going to accept Ruchiyah Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan's Teretz. So what is the Teretz? Why are we having the same machlokus seemingly 2 days in a row in two different Mishnayas? So the Gemara says, you're right. El Akor Chor Reisha Pliga B'Gzeres Tikra. The same for Pliga B'Gzeres Tikra. You are 100% right. We're having the same machlokus 2 days in a row, but there's a reason for it. And we're arguing over here the same machlokes 2 days in a row. Normally, you're going to ask how come that is being done. It is being done for a very good reason, because Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, the Sefer is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Ka'amar Leila Rabbi Meir. The Sefer is a continuation of yesterday's Mishnah, and again, we have them separated as two Mishnayas, but in the Mishnayas, they're one right after the other. And therefore, this is a continuation. Today's Mishnah is a continuation of yesterday, and it's a response that Rabbi Yehuda is telling Rabbi Meir. The Ko'omar Leila Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda is telling Rabbi Meir, Amai Ko'asar to Binasar. Why yesterday did you say Rabbi Meir Oser Binasar? What was your reasoning? Mishum Gzeras Tekra? Are you concerned that people are going to think if I can use this for my sukkah, then I might as well stay in my house? Hai Svarla Beishamai Hudi Islu. That's only according to Beishamai. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Beis Hillel lo gazri. Beis Hillel agrees with me, and therefore they're not gozer. And therefore we possibly like Beis Hillel. How does Rabbi Meir respond to that? But Amr Rabbi Meir responds back to Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'dover zeh. No, I'm not going like Beis Shammai. I'm going like both of them. I disagree with you. I say that Beis Hillel also is concerned about Gzeiras Tikra. And therefore, today's Mishnah is not totally the same as yesterday's Mishnah. It's a further discussion and refinement of yesterday's Mishnah. The review that says that this is a machlokis of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, whether we're going to be Gozer, Gzeiras Tikra or not. And Rabbi Meir says, no, they both say that we're Gozer, Gzeiras Tikra. Okay, that's the way to understand yesterday's Mishnah and today's Mishnah without any problems. Nadigmor says, this works out very, very well. Honicha l'Rav, who said in yesterday's Mishnah, I mentioned it earlier in the Shia today, D'yama machlokes b'shiyesh ben arboa, that the only time that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda argue is by Nesorim that are 4.0 tvachim or larger. There, the Rabbi Meir is like Zeres Tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda less like Zeres Tikra. That's where the machlokes is. But if boards are less than 4.0 tvachim, then there is no such machlokes. So that works out very, very well. Because as the first Rashi said on the top of this Amud, Stam Tikra b'nisorim sheyesh b'hen arba. I didn't mention this at the very top. I should have mentioned it. I mentioned it now. Stam Tikra, when we're dealing over here with the Mishnah, Tikra Shein Oleh Maziva, the Stam Tikra that they used to make for a house was 4 Tvachim. We mentioned this yesterday. And therefore, the Gzeiras Tikra, yes or no, is only when you're dealing with boards that are 4.0 Tvachim or larger, which is exactly the way Rav understood the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. That only there does Rav Meir say there's a Gzeiras Tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda say there is no Gzeiras Tikra, even for Nesorim that are 4.0 Tvachim or larger. But everybody, the Kuli Amal or Pligi, that if they're less than 4.0 Tvachim, then there is no Gzeiras Tikra. Ah, Hanichal Rav. This works out very, very well according to Rav. Elo l'shmuel d'yomar b'she'ein b'hen abar machlokas. But according to Shmuel, as we mentioned earlier in today's share, and in yesterday's share many times, Shmuel holds that the only machlokas in Rehud and Rebbe is if it's less than 4 tvachim. But if it's 4 tvachim or more, kuli amalo plige, avo yesh behen arba, dir yakol psula, that even Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible in that situation, so then, seifu b'may plige, so then how are they arguing in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda also agrees, according to Shmuel, that boards that are 4.0 tvachim or larger are gzeiras tikra, so how come he says that Beis Hillel would allow you to go and loosen the boards, just do the mefakfik, but not require that you also are lifting up no-till achas mibintayim and taking away one from in between? According to Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda shouldn't allow that. Shmuel says, no. The bitul tikra komiflege. We're discussing here a house that was having a tikra on it, albeit it didn't have the ma'aziva part, but it was built as a house. So by doing any change to that, you're demonstrating that there is no need for a Gzeiras Tikra. The Bitule Tikra, to nullify an existing Tikra, that's where they're having a machlos, komiflegi. Marisavra botla b'hachi. Rabbi Yehuda says, the fact that you are saying, I'm not going to use this house as it is. I have to make some sort of machinery in it, either mefakpek or no-tell achas b'mintayim. I'm demonstrating that I realize that this isn't good in my house. And therefore, nobody's going to say, well, if you're using this in your house, you might as well stay in your house and not build a sukkah. No, he's showing that it can't be used for a house. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, any sort of a shinoi, any sort of a change, either mefakvek or no talach has to be bintayim, would be adequate. Because you're mevatel an existing tikra, as opposed to creating one from scratch. But Rabbi Meir says, no, even in an existing house, we have the concern of Gzeiras Tikra. But everybody would agree, according to Shmuel, that if you're creating a new sukkah, that you can't use Nesarim that are more than 4.0 Tvachim because of this Gzeiras Tikra. If a person does that, he says, well, if I can do this, why can't I just use the ones in my house? So therefore, there's a difference between Bittul Tikra and creating a Tikra. And that would be the way Shmuel would understand the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, that when Rabbi Yehuda agrees of a Gzeiras Tikra, that you have to be concerned with 4.0 Tvachim or more, that's only when you're creating it lechatrila, you're making a brand new sukkah. But if you're being mevatel an existing Tikra, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there is no Gzeiras Tikra. And Rabbi Meir says, even in that situation, there still is a Gzeiras Tikra. Next Mishnah. Hamekores sukoso bishpudin obi aruchus amita. Shmudim are spitz, and Aruchas and Mita are bed frames or parts of the bed frame. And you can see what we mean by a bed frame in the Pirush Chai on page 42 in diagram number 211. A shmud is diagram 210 if you don't know what a spit is. And you can see this as well in the Illustrated Gemara on page 28 in diagram number 82. So if one makes the schach of his sukkah using these shpudim, which are metal spits, or beruchas amita, which are still kalim, we'll have to explain why these bed frames are still kalim. It's not the full bed frame. You're only going to be using either the length side of the bed frame or the width side of the bed frame. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 29, diagram number 86. So what possible use do they have? Are they still kalim? So the Gemara is going to say, yes, they're still kalim. So you can't use these alone. However, im yesh revach beinehem kimoson, if you leave a space which you'll fill in with kosher eschach in between the shpudim or between the aruchas amita, im yesh revach beinehem kimoson. And again, if you're having trouble picturing this, you can look at the Pirush Chai on page 43, diagram number 212, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 28, diagram number 82. So if you leave a space in between them, and then you fill in that space with kosher schach, so then shera, the sukkah will be good. Now, this seems to suggest, and the Gemara will talk about this, that a 50-50 non-kosher schach, the shpudim or the aruchas amita, and kosher schach in between them, 50-50 of kosher schach, 50-50 of pasul schach is good. The Gemara will discuss this. But right now, that's what we seem to be saying. Then the Mishnah concludes with something that we had previously. Hachotet begodish, if you want to hollow out a haystack, you have a stack of hay, and it wasn't made, the top layers were not made l'shem tzel, they were made l'shem haystack, and not to have somebody inside of it. And then somebody goes and hollows out the inside of this haystack and creates basically a sukkah by making the inside hollowed out. And now you say, I have schach on the top. Now that's a problem of tasev lo min ha'osli. And therefore, we are going to say that this is no good as well. And again, if you're having trouble picturing what this haystack is, you can look in the Illustrated Gemara on page 28, diagram 83, or in the Pirush Chai on page 43, diagram number 214. In this situation as well, hachotet begodish, if you hollow out this haystack, lasos l'sukkah, and say, hey, here's my sukkah, ain't a sukkah because of tasev lo min ha'osli. The top part over here is not intentionally made with tzel, and therefore only now, after the fact that you make it into a tzel, so it's a problem of tasev lo min ha'osli. Now the Gemara starts off with what I raised during the Mishnah, and that is 50-50 good. If you have 50% kosher schach and 50% non-kosher schach, our Mishnah seems to indicate that that's good. So that only works out well according to one shita. This idea that 50-50 is good seems to go against what an Amoris says, Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, and that's a problem for this Amoris Shita. What did Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua say? The Itmar. Now this is in regards to Hilchos Erevin. And if you want to see diagrams of this, you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara, page 28, diagram number 84. But it's a pretty simple concept if you don't have that Gemara to understand. And that is, when you're making an Erev, the Itmar, Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua is going to be one of the Bali plucked over here in this statement. Parutz ki omed. If you have a wall, and you have exactly 50% wall, that is called omed. And you have exactly 50% open space, that is called parutz. So is this a kosher mechitza in regards to Hilchos Erevin or not? So Rapapa Omar Mutter. Rapapa says 50-50 is good. Oh, Rapapa certainly is in alignment with our Mishnah, because he says 50-50 is good by Erevin, and he would say 50-50 is good by Schach. However, Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua Amar Asur. Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua says it's not good by Erev. If you have Parutz Kiyomim, if you have the amount of space is equal to exactly the amount of wall, it's no good. Seemingly, he would therefore say in our Mishnah, if you have exactly 50% Kosher Eschach and 50% Pasul Eschach, that should be no good, according to Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. And yet our Mishnah says it's good. Kashan Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, Le'matevi Tiyufta. So Amalach Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, he would say no. It's absolutely not a problem. My kimoson, when it says in our Mishnah that you have a space kimoson, so you have 50% over here of the non-kashura shpudin or the non-kashura kari hamita. So when we say Kimosan, that the space is exactly like that, it doesn't mean exactly. It's not 50-50. It's really 51-49. Because benichnas v'yotze, as the bottom Rashi tells us, she pesel harochav kimosan yocho lichones v'leitze v'revach shebein tayim. That the good schach, which is pesel, coming from the guy, the psoles, the good schach that you're using over here is actually 51. Because you have to be able to move it in and out of the space. So it actually must be bigger than the actual non-kosher eschach. Because you can move it in easily, then it must be larger. The hash to havale pesel shenosein sham merubo al hashpudim. The ha'aver yoser al hashpudim. The actual space between the shpudim was really 51% of the area. And the shpudim, or the mita, the bed, was actually over here less than 50%. It was 49%. The Aruchas Hamita, or the Shpudim, were actually less than the 50%. So it's really 51-49. Ah, Rav Huna, Brei de Rav Yeshua says 51-49 is perfectly good. As long as it's not Paritz Ke'omed. If it's just close, but you have more Omed than Paritz, the wall is good in Hilchas Mechitza. So Tovia, the Schach is good. And therefore, Benichnas Yossi means that there's 51% of Kashra Schach versus only 49% of the non-Kashra Schach. And therefore, even Rav Huna, Brei de Rav Yeshua would say that our Mishnah is in accord with his Shita. Now we turn to Tesvav Omid Beis, and there's a machlokes over here between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Chananel as to how you goris the next words. We'll read it like Rashi, which is the way our Girsa in the Gemara has it. But wait a second, our Mishnah seems to indicate that you could make it 50-50. From the simple reading of the words of our Mishnah, like we had read it, it does imply that it's 50-50. So why are you going around and telling me that it's 51-49? So Amar Rav Ami, he said, no, Bimadif, we are talking about where it's 51-49. Don't tell me you could have read it 50-50, but obviously, Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua would not read it that way. He would read it as 51-49. Bimadif, we're dealing over here, Masnisin lo Echshav b'metzamtzim, we're not talking, as Rashi says, that it's 50-50, El Bimadif. Madif means Odif, a little bit more. Sherevach shebein tayim, al rechav hashpudim, ukemosan diktoni b'nichdas yotze. As we explained, it has to be able to be easily put in and easily put out, so therefore it's going to be a little bit bigger than the 50-50, it's going to be 51-49. Again, I'm making up the numbers. The idea is that is more of the kosher eschach than there is of the non-kosher eschach. So therefore, that's the girsa that we have for Evshul Tzamtzim. The girsa that Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos have is for Evshul Tzamtzim. That's a different way to understand the Gemara. We'll just read it the way we did, as Rashi understood it, and as the girsa that we have in our Gemara. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Omar, no. Afilu teima b'she'ein ma'adif. No, let's even learn it 50-50. Let's say that, yes, we are talking here about 50% is the non-kashu schach, and then there's kimosa, an even amount of space. So it's exactly 50% of airspace and 50% of non-kashu schach. And then when you put in the kashu schach, you're not putting it in the same orientation. Rabbi says, im ha'yu nesunim shesi, nosun eiriv. If nesunim eiriv, nosun shesi. Now, Shesi and Erev are the vertical and horizontal parts of a loom. So when you're putting in the weave, so the Shesi are going to be the vertical, and the Erev are going to be the horizontal threads that you're putting through the weave. So Shesi and Erev, that's the terminology we use for a cross, right? Shesi to Erev is the vernacular way that we describe a cross, because it has the vertical component and the horizontal component to it. So what Rava is telling us over here, and you can see this in the diagrams in the Illustrated Gemara on page 29, diagram number 85, and in the Perush Chai on page 44, diagram number 219. And what you're doing, according to Rava, is you're putting them in perpendicular to the space. So if the space is in, let's say, the north to south orientation, so you're putting in the schach in the east to west orientation. If the space is in the east to west orientation, you're putting in the schach in the north to south orientation. And therefore, by definition, it can't just stay there. It has to be overlapping a little bit over the non-kosher schach. And therefore, when you look at the actual amount of schach, you have 51% or plus of kosher schach, and altogether, you have 49% of non-kosher schach. And therefore, your mevatel, Rashi explains over here, In Dibra Maskul, Rava Omar, Afilu b'mitzamsin, even if technically the space is equal to the non-kosher schach. So if it's the space is in the north to south orientation, that's what the shpudim are and the space is, so then you put in the konim, your kosher schach, in the east to west orientation. The alkochach im eino nosin roshi akonim al shpudim, you have to have the kosher schach, the konim, resting on top of the shpudim. Otherwise, harehe noflim la'aretz, if they're just in the space, they're going to fall right through. Therefore, the total amount of kosher schach is going to be more than the total amount of non-kosher schach. Rashi says, the concept of bittul that we had early in the Masechta, when we lowered the branches of the tree onto the schach, so now it could become nullified by it. That similar principle applies over here, that the kosher konim, the schach, the pestle, is going to nullify the non-kosher shpudim, or the Aruchas Hamita. Oh, that's Rava's Teretz. Now we quote the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, oh, be Aruchas Hamita, that we said that the Aruchas Hamita are also not considered kosher schach, they're still considered a kli, and therefore the Makabel Tuma. Now, why is that the case? If it's broken, if it's just the side of a bed, it's either the length or the width, if it's just half of a bed, so then it's a broken bed, a broken bed's not a kli. So why is it not good schach? Let us say that our Mishnah supports what Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said. What did he say? Rav Ami Bar Tevumi, sichicha bevuloi kelim psula. If a person were to use worn-out pieces of clothing, Rashi explains that these worn-out pieces of clothing are something we want to discuss later in the Gemara, that it's dealing with matlonos she'en behen shalosh al shalosh. Now, shalosh here is feminine, and it's talking about either amos or etzbos, but from the context, it's clearly talking about etzbos. That worn-out pieces of clothing aren't even able to be used by a poor person as a patch if they're less than three etzbos by three etzbos. The hash the lo makabli tumah, and therefore it's not makabli tumah in its own right. However, Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said, since it came from a kli, continuing to read in Rashi, kivan de mikli asu gozer bo rabbanon, the rabbis were gozer over here, that you can't use this former clothing, even though right now it's such small strips that it doesn't have the status of being even a patch, and therefore it's baloi kalim, it's no longer kalim, it's worn out kalim, but Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said over there that you can't use these worn out kalim since they came from a kli, clothing, so too, Rashi continues, he says, Aruchos Hamita Nami, Hash Delo Makabli Tuma, we don't say that they're Makabli Tuma right now on their own, because Delo Chazu Lamide, because right now they're worthless, they're a broken bed, Ella Mikli Kasu, but he would say the same thing, since they came from a Kli, they retain their status of being posel in regards to this din. So just like the Baloi Kalim can accept Tuma, and therefore you can't use them for Schach, so too the Aruchas Hamita are like Baloi Kalim and can't be used for Schach. That is what we want to suggest, that our Mishnah is in support of this statement that the Amora Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said. But the Gemara says not necessarily so. We could argue, Ki d'Amar Rabbi Chanan Amar Rabbi. That's the gear so that we have. Some say instead of Rebbe, it should be Rav, because he wasn't the Talmud of Rebbe, he was the Talmud of Rav. In any event, Rabbi Chanan said, Barucha ushtei kra'ayim. Biktzara ushtei kra'ayim. We're dealing here with the bed that is still usable as a bed. The frame isn't totally broken. And again, you can see diagrams of this very clearly in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 221 and 222. You see that it's able to stand on its own. In other words, you have the length or you have the width of the bed with the legs in Shteh Akra'ayim, and therefore it can still function, as we'll see in a second. You can also see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 29, diagram number 86. And now we'll go to the next diagrams in both the Pirush Chai, diagram number 223, and in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram number 87. And that explains now what the Gemara is going to say in these diagrams. Like Rabbi Chanan said, Baruch Oshtei Kraim, Biktzara Oshtei Kraim, you're dealing with the length and the two legs, or the width and the two legs, and in that situation, he said this in regards to another Mishnah in Kalim, which the Gemara is going to quote in a moment, and he said over there, so too over here, Hochanami, we're dealing Baruch Oshtei Kraim, Biktzara Oshtei Kraim, you're dealing over here with a usable broken bed frame. and therefore it does still have the status of Kalim, and you don't have to say that this is a raya to Rav Amibar to Viome, that once it came from a Kali, even though it's not a Kali now, it's still no good. No, you could say that it's no good because it still is usable right now. And where did Rabbi Chanan say this then? Hecha itmad Rabbi Chanan amar Rabbi. Where did Rabbi Chanan say this then, either in the name of Rabbi or in the name of Rav? Ahad itnan, on the following Mishnah in Kalim, and we turn to Tezayin amar Aleph, where it says, Mito mitamas kavila. Umitaheres chavila, a bed, meaning without the mattress, but the frame of the bed can only be makabel tuma as an entire unit biyachad, and it can only be mitar the entire unit biyachad. You can't go and immerse it in a mikvah piece by piece. You have to be mitar it all together. As the top Rashi tells us, umitaheres chavila im tmeyahi. Ain't tvila olala evarim evarim. You can't go and immerse part of it and then take it out and then put the other part in and take it out. Ela misakna umetvila. You have to go and fix it and be tovil it all together. So if it's in parts, it's no good. It won't accept tuma. And if it's in part, it can't be mitar. That is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the Tanoic opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in this Mishnah in Kalim. The Chacham Mamrim, however, the Chacham say, Mitamas Evarim, it can accept Tumah even in pieces, or Mitaharis Evarim, and it can even be immersed in the mikvah in pieces. Now, what exactly are they talking about? My Nihu, how do you understand that it can be in pieces, that it's acceptable to be Kabbal Tumah, or to go and be Mitar? So, Amar Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi, here we have Rabbi Chanan telling us in the name of Rabbi, Arucha Ushtei Chara'ayim, Kitzara Ushtei Chara'ayim. We're dealing over here with the type of the length that it has the 2 feet to it, or the width that has the 2 feet to it, and it's acceptable as a kli. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. L'may Chazer, how would you be able to use it in this situation? L'mismachinu aguda. And here are the diagrams that I just mentioned in both the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara, that you're going to go and have an additional perpendicular board attached to the either Arucho Shtei Kraim or the Ktsara Ushtei Kraim, Ulemesav Alayu or Mishta Ashle. You go and are able to sit on it when you go and have it supported by these two perpendicular boards into a wall. And therefore, as in the diagrams in the Pirush Chai, diagram 223, or in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram 87, you can see that you can then put ropes over this to serve as the bed frame to put the mattress on, or that you can sleep on it directly. And in this way, even though there's only the Arucho Shtei Kraim or the Ktsara Ushtei Kraim, it can still function as a kli. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Chanan said. It still is a kli, not that it's broken, but it still is a usable kli. And that's why it can be Makabel Tumah by itself or be Matara by itself. And that's why in our Mishnah, the situation of the Arucho Samita is no good, not because it's from a kli, like Rabbi Ami Bar Tevumi suggested. No, that's not the reason. It's not a riot to him. It's because it still is a kli in and of itself. And that is the answer that Rabbi Chanan gives. Gufa, let's just quote that one more time and then we'll close out the shiur. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Tevumi, Sichacho Bivloi Kalim Pesula. We said a moment ago that Rabbi Ami Bar Tevumi says that if it once was a beged, so even though now it's too small, it's less than 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, so even a poor person wouldn't use it as a patch, but since it came from a beged, so we consider it still to be possible for schach. Sichacho bivloi kalim psula, and therefore it's no good if you use this for schach. My bivloi kalim, I gave you the answer already. The Gemara asks, what do you mean by these bivloi kalim? So I'm Rabbi, matlonios she'ein b'hem sholosh al sholosh etzbos. It is a piece of material that came from a garment, but now it's less than 3 by 3, and even a poor person wouldn't use it. Below chazion, lo la'aniyim, and certainly not below la'ashirim. That even a poor person wouldn't be able to use such a small piece of material to use it as a patch, and certainly a rich person wouldn't use it for that. And therefore, it no longer is a kli in its own right, but Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said, since it came from a kli, we have this din of sichu bivloi kelim is psula. And Tanya Kavosi, the Rav Ami Bar Tevumi, we have a brisa in support of what Rav Ami Bar Tevumi said. The brisa is machatzelis shel shifa v'shel gemi. If you have a mat that's made up of shifa or gemi, what are shifa or gemi? So Rashi gives us foreign language words for both of them. And if you look in the Laz Rashi, so he says that this first word shifa, which he translates as lishka, so in the Laz Rashi it tells us this is kemin guma hagodel b'mayim. This is some type of material that grows in the water, a grass, an asif hagodel b'agmi, some sort of a reed of the water. And what is Gemi? He translates that as the word Yonek. So the Laz Rashi tells us, Pirush Gemi, also some sort of a reed. In the art scroll, they translate them as sedge or rushes. I'm not sure that it helps me that much. In any event, it tells us that these machatzelos, these mats that are made out of these materials, shifa and gemi, shiorel, if you have a piece of this mat, afopi shenivchasu mikishiura, even though they're smaller than the size, for them to be considered a kli, to be makabel tuma, as Rashi points out, shiorel could go nivchasu v'nishtayerba. You have a remnant over here of these materials. So even though it's smaller than the shear, which the shear for a mappets, the Mishnah in Kalim tells us, Rashi points out, is shisha al shisha, which is six tvachim. It's masculine, so shisha must be tvachim, not its bows. So it's six tvachim by six tvachim. That's the minimal size over here to have a mat. So if it's smaller than that, afa pisha nivchasu mikashira, emesachin behed, even though it's no longer kli in its own right, since it came from a kli, the Brisa says it's no good. Oh, this is exactly a Brisa in support of what Rav Ami Bar Tevumi had said. The Brisa continues, Machatzelis HaKonim, if you have a mat that's made out of konim, out of reeds, so Gedola, if it's a very large one, Mesachin Ba. Rashi explains the reasoning is because if it's so big, it can't be used as a mat. And the lav kliu, and therefore it's not a kli, and it was obviously made for schach, the stoma lesichuch. This would be like these big mat type of schach that people buy. So if it's clearly not used for a mat on the floor, it's used for schach. So then it's too large to be used as a mat on the floor. It's not the right way to be used for a mat on the floor. So then it is acceptable to use this schach. However, kitana, if it's smaller, so emesachim ba. If it's a smaller kli, so then it is makabel tuma, and you can't use it for schach. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afi makabelas tuma, he says, no, even the larger one is capable of makabel tuma, the emesachim ba, and he doesn't let you use the larger one as well. What's his reasoning? So Rashi says, kusavar, stoma l'shkiva ukliu. He says, why would you make a mat? You're obviously going to lie on it. You're going to use it for some purpose as a kli. And therefore, if it's a kli, whether it's large or small, it can't be used for schach. This is a fundamental machlokas in regards to whether a mat can be used for schach or not. And halach l'maisa, this is a little bit complicated. There are certain types of mats that are acceptable to be used for schach, and there are other types of mats that are somewhat problematic. Not for now. With that, we conclude today's shir.